All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your compassion. I thank you for the blood you sent in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy and that the power of sin has been broken over our lives today. We thank you for the precious blood that was shed for the remissions of our sins. And Lord, I want to say thank you. Thank you for loving us to send your son to die for us. Thank you for paying the price that your precious blood was shed for us on the cross at Calvary. Thank you that the power of sin has been broken over our lives today. And Lord, I say thank you. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, and I shout hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha, you are the Omega, you are the Almighty God, you are a soon and coming King. And Lord, I give you praise and glory and honor, and I praise and I magnify your name, Lord, because Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you, and I magnify your name, Lord. I thank you for the blood of Yeshua. I thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit that you have sent to be our advocate, to be our counselor, that we would not be alone. I thank you for the gifts of healing. I thank you for the healing power of the Holy Spirit to drive out the spirit of sickness, disease, and infirmity in the name of Yeshua, Lord God. I thank you for doing it. I thank you, Lord God, for resurrecting those that are about ready to give up. I pray, Lord God, that you will send a refreshing, send healing, send restoration, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that the spirit of sickness and disease and infirmity will be broken over the people's lives. I pray, Lord God, that your power be released in such a way that they would have no doubt you are the Almighty God. And I thank you, Lord God. I pray for those that need wisdom and direction, Lord. Order their footsteps. Those that are seeking employment, new jobs, Lord, bless them with the jobs. Those that are seeking promotions, let the promotion manifest, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, for heavenly visions, heavenly revelation of your power and your glory. In the name of Yeshua, we take authority and we bind the strong men over this area and over this region, that the glory of the Lord might be revealed. Let your warring angels go forth and push back the forces of darkness. May people's hearts be open to hear and to receive the gospel of Yeshua, the Messiah. Lord God of Israel, release the gift of faith. Let the gift of faith be activated. Let the gifts of miracles be activated in the body of Christ. May people begin to experience healing and deliverance in the name of Yeshua. Now, Lord God, I thank you. And I pray, Lord God, that your blessing would be over this teaching today in the precious and the mighty name of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome to Straight from His Word. As always, it is a blessing to be here to talk about the Word of God. Amen. And to the first time listeners, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Straight from His Word. I'm not the typical radio preacher. I give it to you straight with no sugar added. Glory to God. If you struggle with something I say, pray, get on your knees, seek the face of God, and allow the Holy Spirit of God to minister to you. Saints, we're living in the last days. Perilous times are here. The return of Yeshua is imminent. And, you know, it's just a heart cry that we get into the place that we are in a covenant relationship with him, that we're walking with him in fellowship. We're walking with him in obedience to do his will, because there are people who are bound up that are perishing. As we look and see what's happening in our society today, people are bound up. People need Jesus. Oh, man, I just don't know. Saints, we got to pray. We need to be praying. We need to be praying hard for this upcoming election, that the will of God be done, that God remove the wicked leaders and replace them with leaders who have a desire and a will to do God's will. When you actually look and study in the scriptures, we see knowing that it's evil. The things that are taking place in our society, there is so much evil. The scripture says, woe to them who call evil good and good evil. And we're at that place now, as you can see. That's why, as the body of Christ, we need to be praying and seeking the face of God. We don't have time to be having church socials. We need to be praying for God's anointing to break forth, to break out, to set the captives free. We've lost our vision of the mandate of delivering and setting the captives free. So we need to make sure that we get back and get in the Word of God and then allow the Holy Spirit of God to begin to speak to us and to lead us and to guide us and to show us what we need to do to have an impact wherever God has placed us. Now, we left off last week. We were talking about the power and the resurrection of Christ, and we were talking about the trial and what he endured and what he went through, and how he was beaten, and how Pilate found him not guilty. Not guilty. Not guilty. But Father God had decreed that he has to go to the cross and he has to die. He has to pay the penalty for the sin of mankind. And you've heard me say that once Father God decrees something, it's a wrap. It's going to happen. And where we struggle in our lives, because it doesn't happen on our time clock, we get frustrated. Yeah, Satan might get busy, might delay a whole lot. But you know what? The God that we serve, he's faithful to what he has promised. And going into John chapter 19, let's pick this up where we left off. Glory to God, you're listening straight from his word. I hope you're blessed by this, saints. You know, I'm just trying to do the will of the Lord and bring his word. I'm trying to do what I'm called to do, which is to help equip the saints. There's so much deception going on out there in the world today that we don't know what's true and what's not true. There's a lot of mixture in the preaching and the teaching. You hear a lot of man-centered gospel instead of Christ-centered gospel. I wonder what the church would look like if we actually did it God's way. I wonder what the body of Christ would look like if we actually did it God's way, and following the early church and how it was a church with power, and the church grew because of the persecution. We get marketing firms, and we have what's the best way we've come up with strategies to attract people to the gospel and to churches, to whereas all they had was the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost, and that was enough to bring people to Christ. We resort on marketing and gimmicks and different things to get people in, and churches become a place of entertainment instead of a place of worship. People don't come and have an encounter with God. They come to hear an eloquent preacher or an anointed choir sing, instead of having an encounter with God and being in the presence of God, which would be more important than anything else. God is so much. John 19, verse 1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and beat him. And now when Jesus was beaten, it had bones and lead in the whip. That's why his flesh was ripped open as he was being beaten. And scripture says he was beaten beyond recognition. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put him on a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and said to them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus, Yeshua, forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto him, Behold, the man. And when the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Then the Jews said unto him, We have a law that by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was a more afraid, and then went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, Who are you? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest not that I have power to crucify you and have power to release you. Now, look here. This is a drop the mic moment. Drop the mic. These arrogant religious people, these leaders, these people, I think they're in power. They think they're in control. And look what Jesus said. Thou could have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greatest sin. He said, in other words, the only reason that you're able to do what you're doing to me right now, my Father in heaven is allowing it. In other words, back up. And sometimes I say, and I've gotten to that place in my walk, and he's with the Lord, that when I'm going through a trial, when I'm going through situations, I recognize that, okay, Lord, you are allowing this. I don't understand why, but if you are allowing this, I'm going to trust you. No matter what the outcome will be, I'm still going to trust you. And Lord, if there's some iniquity in my life, in my heart, that there's something that I need to repent of, then Lord, I repent. But Lord, even in me repenting, I'm still going to trust you. And that's what Job did. He said, yet though you slay me, I will trust in you. That's why when Job lost everything that he had, he was able to bow down and worship. And saints, we get so caught up in our emotions and we get so overwhelmed by what we're going through. And it's normal that we lose sight of the fact that the God that we serve, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So God is still there with you. But then there comes a time also that you, when you know that you're in Christ, that you can get up and dust yourself off and declare to the enemy, I am his son and daughter of the Most High God, and you will not destroy me. You will not take my peace. You will not take my joy. I'm going to live and serve God, and the more you mess with me, the more I'm going to pray. The more you mess with me, the more I'm going to prophesy. The more you mess with me, the more I'm going to declare the word of God. The more you mess with me, the more I'm going to witness to people to accept Christ. Yeah. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. For whosoever make himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Now, recognizing he was a people pleaser, but the fact that Pilate says, this man is innocent. But once God has decreed something for his eternal purpose, it's coming to pass. And if you have a pivotal role to play into somebody's salvation or something that God wants to implement, it's going to come to pass. Because God is going to bring you to it. You might go through it, but in the end, God's going to get the glory. And Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he said unto the Jews, behold, your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he them, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place, the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the middle. And Pilate wrote a title and he put on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Then Pilate answered, what have I written? I have written.
Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier, a part also to his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said, therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. For who shall it be that the scripture might be fulfilled, which is said, they parted my raiment among them, and that my vesture, and they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I'm thirsty. I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it in hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, and besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Oh, this is a side note, saints. He was not crucified on Friday. You had to go back into Leviticus, Deuteronomy. This was a high Sabbath. Good Friday came from the Catholic Church. Oh, gosh. But that's a whole other teaching in itself. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs. And first of him, the others was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came thereout blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture said, they shall look on him who they have pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, sought Pilate that he might take away the body of Yeshua, Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in a linen cloth with the spices, as a man of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and the garden a new sepulchre wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So they buried him, and they put him in the tomb. Here we go, saints, the resurrection of Christ. And the first day of the week, when cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she running and cometh to Simon Peter and to other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen cloth laying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lined with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why are you weeping? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if thou hast borne him, then tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Shalom. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted. And unto them that whosoever thou sins retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, that's where they get the term Doubting Thomas come from, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, except I shall see in his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of his side, and thus my hand to his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, the disciples were with him, and Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst of them, saying, peace be unto you. Then said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach here, and my hand thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have lived life through him. Recognizing, saints, that when Jesus died for us on the cross, and then when he was resurrected the third day, the most powerful thing on this force on this planet is death. But death couldn't hold him. Why? Because he's the Son of God, the Almighty God. He is the Redeemer. And when he rose from the grave the third day, power of sin broken. Eternal life is established. Relationship and reconciliation with God the Father, that any man, woman, child who would accept Jesus as their Lord, as their Savior, would have access to Father God and come back into fellowship with him, into a covenant relationship with him. That's why, saints, when the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. Saints, I can't finish this today. Be praying for me here at Straight Word Christian Ministry. I need your prayers. The Holy Spirit moving to bless us financially. Please be obedient to the Spirit of God. Pray for your loved ones and your family members that their hearts will be able to receive the gospel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem as the Bible commands us to do so. Know that Jesus, Yeshua, is Lord, is returned imminent. Know that his return is imminent, and know that I love you. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, the address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.